What's up, everyone? Welcome to Metal Flame Minutes. I'm Sean Mott, your host. Man, it's officially fall, I guess. Leaves are falling. It's getting colder. And the wife and I have been watching Halloween movies. Apparently, we've been stuck in the 90s the past couple days. We watched Silence of the Lambs, Devil's Advocate, which I guess really isn't a horror movie, but it's got the devil in it, so I guess it counts. But for this week's episode, we have Dylan Torre, singer of Weeping Wound. We pretty much speculate with all the new MCU news to what could happen in the future, what we liked about either the new trailers or cast announcements or show announcements. And you know me, I love the MCU, so no need to waste any more time. Let's get right into this MCU talk with Dylan Torre. Hey Dylan, what's up, man? How you doing?
Doing good, Sean. Thank you for having me.
Oh, of course. Thank you for coming on and getting ready to go real deep into some MCU shit.
Yeah, I'm ready to nerd out, so.
Hell yeah. So, obviously, everything's still fucking weird. Well, I guess Florida's trying to get back to normal, which is completely and utterly terrifying. But
yeah, it's kind of weird. Like the few places that I have been out already, people are just straight up not wearing masks, even though like it's still a policy at the restaurant. I believe that like it's still under like restaurants' discrepancies and stuff like that to like wear them or not. But like people were like, "Your state's open. I'm going balls to the wall. Everything's open."
Yeah, I saw that, and you know, I was like, "Oh." Wow.
Yeah,
like
wait a week or two.
New York won't even open up movie theaters.
Yeah. Well, New York is like just as bad of a hot spot. So like I completely understand.
We're like fine now. Well, I live in upstate New York, so I'm like far from the city anyway. But even the city's numbers, they've been down for a while. But the thing with our governor is he's been one of the most like proactive governors on it and everything. So he's
like, good.
We're good now. But let's not be crazy and just throw it all out the window, which is good. I'm glad.
I'm like our governor.
Yeah, he's just like, whatever, fucking no rules, spring break, let's go.
Balls to the wall. Oh,
is,
well.
Which is nuts. Like, restaurants are open and everything, but it's all, like, limited capacity. The tables are very spaced apart. Obviously, you have to wear a mask unless you're eating and everything like that. So it's like, if you get up, you have to wear a mask and everything like that. And I've eaten in one restaurant, and they were super, but they're like super, it's like a straight edge vegan owned restaurant that's all vegan. So like, obviously they're like in line with most of the scenes, views and everything. So they take everything very, very seriously, and they just open, it's a brand new location. So it's like spotless, super nice and everything like that. But yeah
that's a beautiful thing. We have a couple places like that in Tampa, which is great. You know, I like when people are actually really strict about that, because then it just helps us get to where we need to be quicker.
Exactly. And it sucks about the, it's, you know, they have to, certain companies have to follow guidelines, but it's still up to their discrepancy. Like you said, Sam's a manager for Hot Topic, and they have to tell people, even if it's under their nose, to put it over their nose and everything, which the company she works for is incredible. Like they're opening late on voting day, so their employees can all go vote and shit like that. Like
awesome.
Super, they donate a ton of money to Black Lives Matter and everything like that. And
love that.
They're pretty big for, they have like a bunch of like gay rights and gay pride like merch and stuff, where like all portions go to like help that cause and everything. And Sam was wondering why they didn't have like BLM stuff. And I guess it's because they've had a hard time getting in touch with someone where the money will go to the right place. So that's why
that is tough.
That's why they don't have it out, because they want to make sure it's all done right and everything. But mm-hmm. I was like, that makes perfect sense. Like obviously they do their research and they want to make sure it's, you know, if they're donating money, it's going to the right spot and everything. So
it's cool. But yeah, we were worried about that when we did a couple donations and stuff like that too. I think back when like the pandemic first started and we released our first line of masks, we were trying really hard not just to do it to like a generic one that we didn't know where the money was going. And I think we ended up going with like Off the Plate up in New York.
Oh, awesome. That's super sick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We figured that would be very good considering you guys had such a struggle in the beginning of this pandemic too.
Yeah.
So
like I said, even the number of cases were nothing compared to New York City. New York City was insane. But obviously, it's like one of the biggest cities in America. So that makes sense. I live in a very small city, so it's.
Do you live like near like Utica or Amsterdam or?
I live in Utica, actually.
Oh, that's crazy. That is super small. You have like a town of like 1,000, right?
It's like a few thousand, yeah. I used to live in Syracuse, which is much, much bigger. Like the mall there is a destination mall.
Yeah, that's your nice area.
Yeah. And I live kind of like, it's not in the city. It's the suburbs, I guess. I don't know. There's not even really much of a city. If you compare it to a real city, it's not really.
See, that's perfect, though. That's perfect.
Yeah, it's nice. It's like away. I miss Syracuse, but it's like more peaceful in a way, I guess. Mm-hmm. Not in crazy. But I grew up in this place called Watertown, which is basically Canada. And that is very small. It's like, it's probably half the size of Utica. It's insanely small. The only reason they get places there is it's right next to a military base. So them getting new stuff is because of that. That's the only reason. But it's insanely small. Seriously, 30 minutes away from Canada.
Yeah, see, that's kind of insane because, like, what culture do you actually follow at that point?
I mean, it's American.
Like, you have the military, you have New York, you have Canada.
Yeah, it's like...
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was about to say. Are they, like, Letterkenny looking? Like,
dude, pretty much. Like, when I came back from college and that's when I was starting to get tattooed, I would, like, go to get groceries because after I graduated college, I moved back home and just got a job in Watertown for a while, and then I ended up moving to Syracuse, like, a year and a half later. But, like, I would be in Walmart and people would be staring at me like I was the devil and I just had, like, a sleeve. And people just, like, look at me like I, like, killed their kids or something. And I'm like, yo, I'm just trying to buy some food, man. And that's, like, how Watertown is. It's, I don't know if it's any different. I highly fucking doubt it. But it's straight up, like, fake redneck as fuck. Like, I used to work for a sign shop, and people would be like, yo, I want, like, Confederate flag shit. And I'm like, cool, great. I was like, you fucking have lived in New York your whole life. Cool. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, because, like, I feel like a lot of people in New York, considering, like, its area, are pretty level-headed, you know, that, you know, for the most part, you know, there's always people, like, that are not going to be on the same page as everyone else around them, which is okay. You're entitled to your wrong opinions on things. but yeah, dude, a Confederate flag in a northern state. Interesting. Yeah. Oh, well, everyone has their cultures. Quote unquote.
Cultures, yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's fucking terrible. I'm glad that I'm away from there. Syracuse is far better. Everything's super more open. It's like most of the big companies in the area are like, you know, mom and pop shops that just happen to get big and everything. It's fucking amazing. Utica's like kind of in the middle. It's like halfway between Watertown and Syracuse, which obviously isn't ideal, but it's not the worst thing. You know, it could be.
Yeah,
could
no, be I've heard honest. Good things about Utica, though. Like, a couple of my coworkers live there, and they love it. It's just kind of small for some of them. Some of them just wanted more, which
I'm
is okay. And then
shocked you were like, oh, do you live in, like, Utica or something? Because no one ever says Utica. Because I'm like, oh, yeah.
No one knows where Utica is.
I live halfway between Albany and Syracuse. And they're like, oh, okay. You know, like, no one's ever
and they're like, oh.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought it was pretty funny once he said that too, because like I was again like, oh, no one knows what Utica is, so hopefully that's right. That's like what comes to my head, that is like the smallest place in like New York for the most part.
It's pretty small, that's for sure. But I was wondering, what have you been into since the pandemic hit? Like, what have you been watching? Have you been reading any comics? Have you been playing any video games? Like, what have you been into?
Oh man, comics have been slim for me personally. Like, I've been reading some of the New 52 series. I was reading the Ra's al Ghul one, I think, like, a week ago. But besides that, I haven't really been reading a lot of comics. As far as it goes for video games, I really want to be... Oh, yeah, I've been crushing the Avengers game. Haven't even played it yet.
Dude, I've been so stoked about it. And every time I play it, I'm like, fuck yes, I love this fucking game. And then I don't play it.
Oh, dude, that's how it was when Spider-Man came out, dude. Like, I was crushing that game.
That one made me more obsessed, though, because I was like, I need to play. Like, I need to find time to play. With this one, I'm just like, I'll play it when I have, like, a free hour or something. It's been a little different.
Yeah, for sure.
But...
Yeah.
It's sick. The story is
I wish
sick.
I could be. Oh, yeah. I've heard great things about it. I haven't started it yet. I'm a strong advocate into like finishing games that I've already started before I start new ones.
Same. I'm the same way.
So, yeah, even when Doom Eternal came out, I was like, yeah, I'm not playing this until I finish the rest of Doom again. So, I did that. I just started Doom Eternal. I've been playing Pokemon games. Like, I've been playing Blue and Crystal.
Shit.
So, I have a lot on my plate already. So, I got to finish all that before I do that. Yeah. As far as it goes for watching things, I'm not really a TV guy. Okay. But again, I've been hooked on Pokemon series.
All right. Fair enough. Yeah. I mean, I played the newer, I played Sword.
And that I have Shield. Tight. I liked it. Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah. I like the new, the new regional Pokemon are always cool. I'm always surprised with like some of the things when I actually sit down and play the game, like pre-release, I'm like, ooh, this sounds weird. But then when you start playing it, you're like, oh, this is a pretty cool like mechanic that they've added to the game. I also like that Nintendo's finally getting on the DLC train.
Yes,
because it used to be just national Pokédexes, but now it's giving you something to look forward to besides just shiny hunting until the end of the time. Which I think is pretty neat. Like they have another DLC coming out, and I think like it might have been pushed back. It was supposed to be like November.
But it was supposed to be the two waves, right? One in the summer, one in the fall.
Yeah, it was supposed to be the second part. The first part came out in like July or June. Don't quote me on that, but I finished that in like a week.
Damn, I've been meaning to download it, but I haven't.
It was only $30 for both DLCs, so I was like, that's cheap. It's worth it.
Yeah,
it's worth it.
Yeah, that's really cool. I've been meaning to, I just haven't. I don't know. And I'm super weird with games. It's even like when I beat Avengers, I don't really like the extra stuff. I just like the game. Like I play it for the story most games I do. Like I'll play Fortnite and stuff, especially now they have the Marvel stuff. Like I'll play it because I just think it's fun. I'm like, oh, I can play as Thor. That's sick. And shoot guns.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous. But as soon as I beat it, I was like, okay, I'm done. Pretty much.
Yeah, well, it's a good way to judge the games, though, is how well the story is, because not everyone's going to play the side quests.
Yeah.
You know, like they're not going to buy the DLCs either, unless there's like a good story to it instead of just more side quests, you know, because that was one of the things that people didn't like about some of the Spider-Man game. The DLC didn't really have like an additional story. It was a story, but it was just like basically side, tasks and stuff again.
Yeah, it was like a complete side story. I thought it was cool. I mean, it was kind of linked in. It kind of just like broadened a few small parts of the game. But they were super fast. Like I ran through those so fast.
They were.
The DLC.
Yeah, I remember I finished the game and then they're like, a DLC's coming out. I went, oh shit.
Yeah.
Already?
Yeah. And I just crushed them. But they're fun. They're cool. I love those set up for Miles more than anything, because obviously you see him get bit in the game, but like through the whole DLC, it's like him calling, being like, hey, when are we going to train and stuff, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome that they were even incorporating him into the main story. And then like you said, later on, he was brought more into it, which is great. I just recently saw the Miles Morales suits in Avengers now, right? Or it's going to be?
In Avengers?
Yeah, in the Avengers game.
What? I knew Spider-Man was.
Yeah, I think I actually saw it in the group recently.
Oh, no, that was the pre-order. If you pre-order it, you get that suit.
Okay.
The new Miles Morales game.
Yeah, I'm excited for that, too. It looks really cool.
I'm excited it's an actual game, because it was so weird. It was like, oh, it's like an add-on DLC. Oh, no, it's a game. Oh, no, it's a DLC. And then they're finally like, okay, it's a fucking
they were
game.
Super like, wishy-washy with it.
Okay, cool. It's like the whole like I'm sure you've seen in the group too. Anyone listening, there's a secret Metal Corners Facebook group anyone can join, and we just talk about nerd stuff. That's all it is there for. And there's been super confusion when Avengers announced that Peter Parker was going to be or Spider-Man was going to be a DLC later on. Everyone's like, oh, it has to be the same as the PS4 game, because he even mentions, oh, the Avengers are on the West Coast handling something. And then obviously the beginning of the Avengers game starts in the West Coast with a big event called A-Day. So we're like, oh, okay, it has to be the same one. And then they came and they're like, no, it's not the same one. And then yesterday that trailer came out where they changed Peter Parker for some reason. I don't really know why, but they show which I didn't remember that there was an A mug at all in that game. Like, obviously I wasn't even thinking about it. And in the trailer, Dr. Octavius is holding an A mug and hands it to Peter, or Peter picks up an A mug or whatever. And they're like super like focused on
AIM is involved and shit like that. So
it has to be the same thing as Spider-Man. Like, it wouldn't make any sense to create another Spider-Man in a video game universe just to be in the game. Makes zero sense.
Yeah, it's also made by the same people, if I'm not like mistaken, right? Or like it's they different. Had a hand in developing it.
Probably. I know it's a different, like, the I'm not big in like video game developers and stuff. So I don't really know the depths of it, but I know the companies who made them are different because one's Square Enix and one's Insomniac, so I know they're like different
companies. Yeah, I knew that, but the developers I thought were at least similar.
that I have no fucking idea, but it would make sense. I mean, some of the mechanics are the same, like how you upgrade and can upgrade new moves. It's very similar.
Yeah, and then the various suits and stuff that I've seen, like it looks exactly the same as far as it goes for those mechanics.
Yeah, 100%. And even the playing is everyone different, feels super different. That's like one of the coolest parts of the game. The game itself definitely isn't set up as well as Spider-Man as far as like the tasks and the missions and stuff. They kind of get a little bit repetitive. It's just like, oh, hey, you go to this base, you have to fight a million fucking enemies and that's it. So that's the kind of thing where I'm like, whatever. But the story is so cool. It kind of like just drives you through it.
Yeah. It's like, I'm getting through this just to see what else is there.
Kind of. Yeah. It's not like super boring because it's cool. Cause even when you go into a mission, you can pick whoever is as you unlock people throughout the game, you can pick who you want to be. So it's like, oh, if I want to be Iron Man, I can be Iron Man. Oh, I want to be Hulk this time, I can be Hulk. Oh, you want to be Ms. Marvel, you can be Ms. Marvel and shit like that. So you can even switch
that's
it up.
That's really
like,
cool.
Yeah. You're like, oh, I want to be someone different this mission or whatever. And you can do that, which is super cool.
Yeah, it brings less staleness to it too with doing that. It's like, oh yeah, this mission, I'm calling in Hulk. Like, exactly. He's perfect for just ruining things.
Yeah. And then all the rest are like CPU that fight with you too. So it's as you unlock them.
Cool.
They all some missions is just you and stuff like that. It depends on how the story goes and everything. But on like big ones, like everyone's with you. So you're not alone. If you get like you lose your health, you just get revived. You don't completely die and stuff. So it's super cool how that works into. It's like obviously something different than Spider-Man because it's just you're just Spider-Man. So you have like the whole crew and you're like out there like fucking wrecking shit, which is super cool. Video games, I don't know.
Yeah, it entices me that I have to pick that up now. But playing it.
It got shit on super hard because of some of the glitches and shit, but not enough people are talking about. Well, it seems like people who haven't played it are the ones who shit on it. It's kind of like anything in pop culture. The biggest haters are the ones who have never even fucking seen it or something. But anyone who's played it is like, dude, the story is
for sure
fucking amazing. And I agree. It like sucks you in immediately. It's super sick.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely not a hater at this point. I've only heard good things. So I'm definitely itching to play it, but I have to finish Pokemon Man.
it's fair. I understand. I completely understand. I'm not rushing it. I'm just saying when it's there, you'll have a good time. I mean, I haven't even beat it. All my other friends are like, yeah, I beat it in like a day.
See, I'm like, also that type of person that I feel like I'm going to have to like speed through it.
yeah. I just don't have the time really. So I can never sit and play video games for like multiple hours on end. It's usually I'll squeeze in like an hour or a half an hour here and there and shit like that. It is what it is.
That's a healthy thing.
Yeah, there's been some where I get sucked in, like Last of Us Part Two. I would play like all day, and I'd be like,
I'd be so good.
I'd be so drained and like distraught after. I'm like,
That whole series is so good, but dude, the way that they like, you know, were up and down about their release and then getting leaked and everything. It like,
bummer.
I feel like it didn't deter the people from actually playing it though. You know, I felt like it really got people engaged into it. Cause at that point they're like, yeah, we're releasing it. Like,
it was the same thing.
What's the
point
of pushing it back? You know what's happening.
people read it and were like, I hate this. And it's like, how are you going to hate something when you haven't even played it yet? Like, even if you know it's going to happen, that's so lame. It's like getting like a script.
You don't know when it's going to happen when you play it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if a script leaked for some big movie and you read it and you're like, I hate that. It's like you haven't even seen it yet. You know how much different like, a script reads than how a movie plays?
It's not for sure. It's like getting upset that you've read comics about adaptions of movies, you know? You don't know how it's actually going to play out, you know?
Sure don't.
Like, oh, I know what's going to happen.
It's like, nah, you don't. Marvel has proved that right tenfold.
Dude, Infinity Wars and Endgame, dude, 100%. Like, they have definitely proved it with just those two films.
Name me a comic that's like those two movies. There's not.
Yeah. Civil War, like literally all like the big names that everyone probably watched those over everything else. The Avengers ones, like literally
totally just, different.
Nothing's exactly how you know what's going to happen, you know?
Nope. And I love it that way. I like it's it. They take the stuff that comic readers have and they'll show you nods. They're like that only comic readers will get, or people at least who watch videos or listen to podcasts or whatever. They're like, oh, that's a reference to this in the comics and shit like that. They put that shit in, which obviously means they care for it, but they want to tell new stories because most comic stories are extremely redundant and they just end with everything getting undone and shit like that. Not all comics. Some comic stories are fucking amazing, but you know, you got to change it up. No one wants to see the same exact thing that is on a page just put into movie form. Well, some people do, but if you can make it better, make it better. And I think they do. At least me.
Yeah, make it engaging for people that aren't going to be engaged in the comics, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's definitely entertaining for both comic book geeks and also for the pop culture that is surrounded by it at this point. Like, it's been over a decade, and here we are still engaged in their movies. Like, I'm so stoked for their series, so stoked for their movies. Like, I'm still all about it, you know?
Oh. Same here.
So what got you into comic book related content or comics when you were a kid?
Dude, see, that's like a weird question because it's not like it's like some one particular thing that was like, oh yeah, this is it. It's always just been around, whether it'd been like some kind of pop cult thing or if it was, you know, starting into comics. Like I remember when I was younger, for people that are listening and can't see my hands, I'm in the middle of moving and I usually have a bunch of geeky shit up. But I always had I would be pointing if they were there, my 1990s Batman action figures that I had since I was a kid. Yeah, they it has like and it's funny too because it's literally they're like built like dolls. You know, it's that form of action figures. They came in a set, it had like the Adam West one. It had the Michael Keaton Batman, and it also had the 90s animated series Batman. And they came in this really cool display box, and I've had those ever since I was a kid. Batman was my favorite. Definitely not anymore, but he's still really cool. And literally, I've also always collected Pokemon cards. I've always collected Yu-Gi-Oh cards. I've always been in some realm of pop cult or quote-unquote geeky. I was one of those kids that didn't stop playing with their toys until they were in their teens. Like I had Transformers and stuff that I would always play with. I had Ben 10 toys, I had Pokemon toys, like I have a lot more of the pulp pop cult side of things. I'm sure as far as it goes for toys, but when it came to comics, I feel like I didn't really get into those too often until about 10 years ago. Or actually probably even sooner than that, like 6 years ago, because I would always hear things about like Marvel TV shows, Marvel this, DC that, and I was like, well, where do you guys get this? The internet? And they're like, no, the comics. And I was like, yeah, that would make sense. So I just started diving into a lot of them. I picked up New 52 comics. I picked up Infinity Wars, Civil War, like the big title ones
before
I got into like all the other ones that really caught my eye. My brother-in-law is also really into that type of stuff. And he has like the first appearance of like Deadpool, like graded and everything. I think like, I don't know how they go. I think it's like 70% or like by sevens or I don't know how it goes.
It's like 1 through 10.
It's worth like,
yeah.
It goes 1 through 10, so it's like probably like a 7. I don't know. Grading so varies I think it's like a 7, but it's in really good condition for being a 7, and it's worth like $300, I think, still.
Yeah,
like, dude, it's a pride and joy for him, but
yeah, that shit is nuts. My friend is super into like graded and first appearance and shit like that. He has so many.
There's a whole market for those. Oh yeah.
I'm very much a trade guy myself. It's just easier that way, but I do have some single issues. Mm-hmm. The same friend, he was the best man at my wedding. I was the best man at his wedding. But I was the best man at his wedding, he got me the first appearance of Carnage comic, actually, which is fucking awesome. That's like my prize comic possession. It's like probably one of the only like super expensive. Oh, though I do have Batman Damned. Wow. And you can't get those anymore because they took them off the shelf because that's the one with the bat dick in it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Love the bat dick.
Sam got me for Valentine's Day. She's like, "Happy Valentine's here. Here's Batman's dick." She said it was good. Good quote.
There is quite literally a dick in a box, I'm sure. Like,
yeah.
Dick in a book.
Yeah, so they took them off the shelves, and the only way you can get that issue is in the trade because it's only a 3-issue run, but they took that page out. So that's like, those are my two like
expensive comics. It does make it quite valuable in that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's cause like there was no second pressing. There was barely a first pressing cause they took most of them off the shelves and stuff like that. So I worked for a comic book shop for a long time. And before I worked there, it's because Sam was like really good friends with the owners and she got it for me through them, which is awesome. And but they ended up closing down because the pandemic, and having a comic store in Utica isn't the best thing in the world.
Surprisingly, even a comic book in Tampa, like a comic store in Tampa, isn't surviving. They closed down one of them near the movie theaters near me. But that wasn't really the main place I went. Gotcha. There's like a bunch of other places. The main place that I really like going is called Emerald City, but that's also like 40 minutes from me. So I'd rather go to the one that's 5 minutes down the road. Yeah. You know, give and take kind of thing.
Yeah, usually when I go, I'll go to Syracuse, or it's crazy, but Barnes & Noble has an insane trade collection, which I guess is, you know, it's like, you want to support local comic shops, I totally get that, but if you're in a pinch and need a trade, if it's popular, I'm almost positive that Barnes & Noble will have it. It's fucking crazy.
That's interesting. I never really thought of them having that, like, wide of a selection.
There's this
place that I've just recently discovered in Brandon, and they're like this vintage shop. And they have a bunch of first appearances for decent prices too. So I've been looking at those. They had like the first appearance of like Thanos, first appearance of like Batman, like literally like the Detective Comics and everything. Like, it's wow. Crazy. Like they have some really good finds, but they never stay too long because everyone always picks them up.
Oh yeah. The people looking for that shit are always there too. And they're always like, they're the sifters. Mm-hmm. You know, trying to find a gem in the stacks of shit. I'll never be that kind of guy, but respect to those people.
Yeah, I'm usually the skimmer. Like, I'm just looking. I might pick this up.
Like I said, I only buy trades, or I'll buy very small runs. Like, there's the Three Jokers run, and I bought that.
Yeah.
It's literally 3 issues. Super easy. J.J. Abrams and his son are doing a Spider-Man run, which is
awesome. Dude, I'm so excited for that.
The fourth one is out. It got delayed because of the pandemic, so... number 4 just came out, and the last one is 5, but it has been so long since the other one came out. I started reading 4 and I was like, I don't even remember half the shit that's going on. So as soon as 5 comes out, I'm just going to reread them all because they're all, it's just single issues.
Well, yeah.
Short.
It's the best thing to do whenever a new thing comes out, just kind of for nostalgia reasons, or even like, you know, just to get where the story is headed, or like kind of refresh yourself. Like, I don't remember every single detail inside comic books that I've read.
Yeah, I remember like, the main story, but there were certain characters that were involved where I'm like, I do not remember this. I was like, I need to go back and reread the first few issues.
Since when were you in this comic? Like,
and it starts off like right off the bat with it, and I'm like, what? But it's all right. And like I said, it's been like 6 months or something like that since the last issue came out. I think at least. It might have been longer. It was a while. So it makes sense.
Yeah, I think I don't remember. I think it was March for some reason. March sounds right in my head, but yeah, you know, who knows?
It was definitely around that time when 3 came out. So it's been a while since the continuation of it.
Oh yeah.
But that's all right. That's fine. So let's get into this Marvel stuff. Obviously, I had a theory because I did a DC Fandom episode It's very fucking long. It's like 4 hours. I put it in two parts in audio forms because there was so much shit to talk about. But as soon as that came out, I ended it, the conversation with, so now that DC did this and it was a huge success, I was like, Marvel's about to drop some shit. And I was like, I knew it was happening. I knew they were going to start coming out and being what's up, motherfuckers? Here's everything.
We got a thing. There's new thing. That's how I felt too whenever they were dropping off all this new stuff. And I was like, they've been quiet. You know.
Which makes sense because everything's been getting delayed. And it starts off with our first topic. Black Widow got delayed again into May of next year, which fucking sucks so bad. But
yeah, that blows.
It does blow. So it made it official that WandaVision is going to be the first thing it kicks off phase four. And that's coming in December. That's what it seems. They haven't announced a date, but if you go somewhere in Disney Plus, it says December 2020. I'm guessing it'll probably start at the end of Mandalorian. Mandalorian's supposed to end the week before Christmas, I think, or maybe it'll be a staggered release where it starts near the end of Mandalorian. I don't. Disney Plus hasn't had a thing where they have two series going on at the same time, so who knows how they'll roll it out. But we got a trailer for WandaVision. Fucking bonkers. What did you think of the trailer?
So good. There's so much in it. There is so much. Dude, it's crazy how I really love that Marvel does this. They always, again, it's the nods for the comic book people inside the trailers, really, because they're always looking for the Easter eggs. Oh, or like the way that some of the scenes like pan out, or just there's little things, and there was just so much to that trailer that I watched it like 400 times before.
Did you catch the wine bottle?
Oh yeah, the House of M, like not.
Yeah,
dude,
crazy.
Boom. Well, and that's what I think is going to be really cool about WandaVision starting everything off. It has so much potential to incorporate X-Men. It has so much potential to incorporate the Young Avengers. It has so much to incorporate into its what it was supposed to already lead into, Doctor Strange. Yep. You know, because. What is it? Elizabeth Olsen is already confirmed to be in that movie. Everyone knows that. Like, and I'm really excited for that because it can go like one of two ways. You know, like she could be a villain in that movie, or she could be good.
I think she's gonna be the villain.
I think so too. And it's because of a lot of the stuff in this trailer.
Yeah.
That really, it just was like a head nod, or like kind of confirmed to me that it was gonna like pan out this way. Yeah. Let's start off and talk about this trailer. Like, there's a lot in this trailer. Let's talk about how, the obvious point that a lot of people didn't really pick into is whenever, this character that was dressed up as a witch, her name's Agnes. I don't know if anyone knows that or they picked up that.
It was in like a Vision. If you watch the subtitles, it would say Agnes. So that's how people know.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if people do that. You know, I'm always being like, who said this? Like, who did this?
I watched trailer breakdown. Who are these characters? So it's like, I pretty much know anything that is in this trailer. I think I knew it.
I did the same because I told you prior, me and my brother-in-law always speculate like type of things that are going to happen. So we are also advocates on trailer breakdowns. But this is one of more the obvious things in the trailer that Agnes is kind of like no expression, sitting in a car, and Vision goes and helps her. You know, he touches her, and then she's like reanimated almost, as if she was like paused, you know. She asks, am I dead? And he goes, why would you say that? And she says, because you are.
Yeah.
And crazy. That's where you see the recognition on his face, where he's like, am I? Like, because like, you know, in the beginning of the trailer, when they're in that little 1950s sitcom looking thing, where the whole trailer is full of sitcoms.
Oh yeah.
I love how they're going through different timelines, different sitcoms that are obviously Disney owned, you know? So they're a little,
are all of them?
Well, they're all under branches of ABC, I believe, which is technically under Disney now, right?
Yeah, Disney owns ABC, yeah.
Yeah, they had like a Full House in there. They had like a Roseanne kind of thing.
Oh, they don't own Full House though, I don't think anymore, because they have that deal with Netflix.
Ooh, that is a good point.
But I mean, it's if it's just like a nod to it, you can't do anything. You know what I mean? Unless they put put the music in there or something. That's the only way you could get in.
Yeah, trouble. I know. It's just referencing timelines for more like most part. Yeah. Things that are very popular and obvious during that time. But in the beginning, in that 1950s sitcom, how they are at the dinner table talking with what it seems to be neighbors or business associates, etc., whatever they may be, when they're at that little dinner thing, and they ask, so what's your story, why don't you have kids? And then it's kind of like this Inception thing where they realize,
yeah, or like,
how did I get here?
Yeah,
you know. And it's like they're like kind of like breaking down in a sense, like they're having a crisis trying to think where they are, and then it switches to, you know, another timeline, etc. Which I think is awesome, because it's like part of everyone knows the obvious thing here, that Wanda right now is either under control or either making these timelines every time one goes bad. Like she's just going through these timelines trying to create new stories to piece together whenever they run into these things, you know. So
the coolest part of that scene too is as they're freaking out, the ratio pans out to like normal, what screen ratio it is now, because it was like tight in like they were in the old time sitcoms, and it just kept panning out. That was like the coolest part. It's like it made it so tense, and like you know, it was almost like a thrill, like a feeling when you're watching like a thriller movie, you know, you're just like, fuck, like you could just feel it like all breaking down. That was probably my favorite parts of this trailer, is that like obviously they have the corny sitcom vibes, but like most of the dialogue was super serious and dark, you know, like the
definitely you're turned dead, that way,
you know what I mean? And even that scene, you're like, oh okay, like this series is going to be like real as fuck, you know, with being completely fucking wacky.
They definitely did the Marvel thing. They played it off as campy, you know.
Yeah,
you know. And then I'm really excited to see what kind of dark undertones like lead out to the rest of the series. Like, especially with whoever the main villain's going to be, which, you know, I'm speculating that's going to be, Mephisto.
Yeah.
Like that's a really obvious one. And I think that's in my eyes, I think that's a very obvious one. And obviously that witch is going to be Agatha, which is basically his pawn. You know, which I'm really excited for that, because Mephisto really opens up a lot of doors for the rest of the Marvel universe too. You know, it's going to set up a lot of things.
Like I almost think that, because everyone's like, how does Vision come back? And everyone's pretty much like, oh, you know, obviously there's precedent in the comics that Scarlet Witch can will things into existence. And she's obviously created like her own pocket universe in this series. But a way to like keep Vision alive, or like bring him back, could be she makes a deal with Mephisto eventually somehow.
Exactly. And then
it costs her something that could end up her leading to be the villain of Doctor Strange. You know what I mean?
For like, sure. I think technically she's already a puppet for Mephisto in this series. And
I definitely think she's being like played in a way, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mostly she definitely by Agatha. Made a deal. Yeah, she made a deal with Mephisto, and probably she had to recite something from the Darkhold, dude. Like, come on. Like, dude, that's literally the contract, or in theory, of her making a deal with Mephisto, a.k.a. the devil. I think that's going to really open up a lot of doors. It's going to connect her to Doctor Strange, like you were saying. Yeah. I mean, it's probably also going to connect to the next part of the trailer that I was going to bring up, which was Monica Rambeau.
Yeah.
Like, you noticed that she was in there.
They announced her, like, the same, like, with the whole Comic-Con thing, they announced that she was going to be in it. So, obviously, it's got to be, like, a sword thing, right? It's got to be, like,
Agents for of Sword, sure. Right? Yeah, dude. I think this is also where they're going to start whittling that into the universe as well. Which is smart. I mean, it's the beginning of the cinematic universe now. So might as well start swinging out with the new Agents of S.W.O.R.D., you know.
obviously it was already it was teased in Spider-Man Far From Home in that end credit scene when Fury was up in that big ass spaceship. Everyone's like, oh, that has to be Sword.
Yeah, looking for his shoes.
Yeah.
Oh, it's definitely it. It's there's no way it's not.
Like, also, this came out too that on that pager that he pages Captain Marvel with in the end credit scene of Infinity War, on the back is a Sword logo.
Yeah, it's a Sword logo, and then it also has an acronym for Sword. Yeah. So, like, come on. Like, yeah, which I think is going to be pretty cool. It's going to open up a lot of things because they want to incorporate, like, Nova and stuff, and then also with the Captain Marvel movie coming out, like, it's gonna do very good things, which we'll continue whenever I'm sure we'll branch into that conversation in a second. But yeah,
I
think it's really cool that they're bringing in Monica because she is an agent for Sword. I think what Sword's doing is gonna try to actually save Scarlet Witch to an extent, you know, like she's obviously under Mephisto's control at this point. And I think what they're doing is they're actually planting Monica in different timelines of basically her, you know, made up worlds and everything like that.
Yeah.
And I think that's gonna be really cool. And I think what's gonna actually happen is that at one point, Scarlet Witch is going to realize that, and she's going to always see her, and it's going to create some conflict, which is
very possible.
You know, yeah, I think it's going to be a cool element to it. Like, I know, like, what is it? Agnes is going to show up a lot. Like, she already has in the trailer. She showed up in, you know, the 50 sitcom. She showed up in, like, the Full House looking one when she was in, like, the
Kimmy Gibbler-esque
aesthetic. Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. But she's also going to ruin her life. She's that's quite obvious. I think she's also there to make sure everything goes as planned, because I think in the grand scheme of it is that Mephisto is going to try to pry away her chaos magic, you know, whatever it's called in the series. Yeah, they're going to try to either pry away that, or they're going to somehow try to bring Mephisto out of the underworld kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's going to happen in the grand scheme of it, and it's going to open up doors.
Yeah, that would definitely make complete sense. I also wonder if Wanda is the reason that Monica Rambeau gets powers or something.
Yeah, I want to see she's basically what her, like Captain Marvel is.
Yeah, she's basically becomes like a version of Captain Marvel. I think it does become Captain Marvel in one iteration of the comics too. Obviously, there's different versions and everything like that. But I wonder if, like, this is the reason she gets powers or something. Like, she's just an agent of Sword. Like, obviously, her mom was in the military. Obviously, she knows Captain Marvel, and she was in the military, and then she sees her become Captain Marvel and everything. So I wonder if she goes to be in S.H.I.E.L.D. because she's obviously had experience with Skrulls and shit like that from when she was a kid. So it'd be interesting to see how she gets her powers. Or even if she gets her powers in this at all, and it just happens later, because that could be a possibility too.
Oh yeah, this could be her, like, I don't want to say cameo. This could be her introduction more so to the Marvel Universe. If she gets her powers now, cool. That's left they have to develop later. But I also don't want it to be like some like cop out answer. Is like, oh yeah,
definitely not.
Like, I want it to be developed pretty cool. Because I like, no offense to Brie Larson, I think. Tiana Paris would be a better Captain Marvel.
Well, it's crazy because now they're introduced, because obviously Ms. Marvel is coming too. They just announced that casting.
That's true.
I didn't really have it in the notes because it's just like an unknown that's being Ms. Marvel, which is, it's smart. It makes a lot of sense actually. But like, Ms. Marvel is going to be the hugest thing as soon as that show comes out. Like,
it's going to be
massive. Because this is the biggest thing with Captain Marvel. Like, obviously, Captain Marvel, it was, like, the first MCU fully women-led movie. But at the same time, she really has, like, no personality because she was a human who was brainwashed to be an alien. So she doesn't even know who she is. So she can't project, like, you know, obviously, it was a super cool movie, made $1 billion, everything like that. But as far as the story, it wasn't very well received, or it was kind of just like, oh, it was okay. It didn't give, like, rave reviews like a lot of Marvel movies have. But it's so weird that they're introducing, like, oh, here's Photon and Spectrum, who also becomes Captain Marvel. Oh, here's Ms. Marvel, who also becomes a version of Captain Marvel too. So it's like, I'm interested to see where they go with that. Where it's like, oh, maybe there's a Captain Marvel for like Earth, and then Brie Larson's like dealing with space shit or something like that. Like, I'm very curious to see where they go with that for sure. And obviously they saw something wrong with the story because they hired new directors and writers for the second one. They didn't go with the same team like a lot of other movies do. And that movie made $1 billion and they're still like, yeah, we think we need to change some things up to make it work better. So
we need $2 billion.
I mean, I don't know if it'll ever get there, but maybe. I mean, I don't know. It depends if it's a good movie. If it's a good word of mouth, people get hyped for it, then they could. I mean, fucking Endgame made almost $2 billion in opening weekend, so. Or they made over $1 billion in opening weekend or whatever it was. Something crazy. So it's possible.
But yeah, it was like record-breaking for like any movie.
Yeah, it has to be really good. But I mean, obviously Marvel has a track record of really good movies, so it's possible. We talked about this a little bit. I guess we can go into a little bit more. Talk about S.W.O.R.D. They announced we're getting a Nick Fury series on Disney Plus. Do you think it's just going to be Agents of S.W.O.R.D.? Or do you think it's going to be some weird where they do some time between like the end of Captain Marvel and like the beginning of like Avengers-ish time or something like that? I personally would like to see S.W.O.R.D. I don't really think we need to see more period piece stuff. I liked, that was like my favorite part of Captain Marvel was like the Nick Fury stuff. Like, it was almost like the origin of Nick Fury, you know what I mean? Sam, mm-hmm. like, hates Captain Marvel. She thinks it's terrible, which is fine. Her reasons are valid, for sure. I just liked it because it was, like, a 90s buddy cop movie. And seeing, like, she's
that's
like,
what yeah. it seemed like.
She was like, Nick Fury was, like, he wasn't, like, Nick Fury. And I was like, yeah. I was like, that's the beginning of him. That's why. I was like, he's just, like, he wasn't head of S.H.I.E.L.D. He was just some dude at S.H.I.E.L.D. I was like, you're seeing him become the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I was like, that's why that makes sense to me. And I liked seeing that because he's so mysterious all before that. You know what I mean? Like, oh, he faked his own death. You know, like, oh, he has all these secret plans and everything like that. So it was cool to see like more before the crazy mastermind. You know what I mean? It was cool to see him like fumble and like figure shit out and like, oh, there's aliens. What the fuck? You know, it was cool to see that shit. So I kind of hope it's more like, hey, this is what I've been doing since after I got fucking brought back from being dust, like this is what I'm working on and shit like that, rather than after him like coming up with the idea for the Avengers Initiative. And it's like, do you really want to see him trying to find people for 20 years being like, yeah, man, it's been like the 90s and it's 2008. Still don't find anyone for this Avenger thing, you know? Or like, obviously he had ideas of stuff like Cap is on ice. I'm sure yeah. he knew of Bruce Banner. Obviously, he knows who Black Widow is, Hawkeye is, and shit like that. But it's like, you know, he only had it, like, intact, you know? It's like, what more can you really do? They kind of already explained all that other shit. So it's like, what is there really else to say, you know?
Yeah, because, like, hypothetically, they show his past and everything. What are they leading up to? The Infinity Stones they're no longer using? Like, come on. It would be cool to get like some flashbacks of like his like 90s like adventures, yeah. maybe even like incorporating cool. like the Skrull in there.
Yes.
Or even more Captain Marvel adventures to set up the movie, because the movie comes, I think, pretty close after that series ends.
Yeah, I think those are going to kind of tie into each other, which I guess yeah, is
that's what I really want to see.
Which is like a separate question. Do you think Captain Marvel 2 or both of these are setting up for Secret Invasion? Of someone.
Dude, that's exactly what I was gonna say.
There we are.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're on the same page when it comes to that. I'd love to see a development of S.W.O.R.D. In some way. Yeah. I think the Fury title is to engage people, but come on, he's an underlining mastermind for this organization in the cinematic yeah. universe. In the comics, they had what's her name?
Oh yeah, I just
want to I'm blanking on it, but they had
it was a different director of S.W.O.R.D. Yeah. I can't remember her name either, but yeah.
Yes, which I mean, cool if they incorporate her, but like, you know, Fury is definitely what they want to take away from that. You know, they used his name to kind of engage interests on all platforms. You know,
Abigail Brand.
I think it would be that's very cool. Huh?
Abigail Brand.
What was her name?
Abigail Brand.
Yes, Abigail. Yes. Which it would be cool. I mean, if they really want to go, how we've talked about introducing strong female leads, if they want to go in that direction, and maybe it's Fury finding her to initially take care of Sword. They have a rumble of opportunities, but that doesn't even come out in 2022 or something like that. Until 2022.
I mean, yeah, they just announced it, so it's like obviously it's like just going into production, so there's nothing set in stone
for sure. Yeah, but I definitely would love to see some type of Sword series, probably incorporate how in the end of Far From Home, where Nick Fury and Maria Hill turned out to be Skrull. Like, it'd be pretty cool to have Skrull agents doing some kind of undercover things that they've always done in the background of the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like, there are so many theories that like busted through after they saw that, and they've already had it whenever they were incorporating Captain Marvel, like how Rhodey was going to be her love interest, which I think in the comics that's pretty accurate, but it would be really cool to see if he was Skrull the whole time. Like, there's so many things.
So I watch New Rock Stars for a lot of the trailer breakdowns and like crazy theories and shit.
Yeah, so do I.
Awesome. So that he had a theory for like a secret invasion thing that was more like, because in the comics they what's her name, Elektra, dies, and then she turns into a Skrull after she dies. So it's like more of like they're hiding in plain sight as a villainous type of thing. But he was saying more of they do it to hide people or protect people, like how they were doing with Fury and stuff like that. So it's like, not that they were Skrulls the whole time. It's like, no, they made them a Skrull in this certain time to protect them from something else, from like a bigger picture, especially what have happened after Endgame and stuff like that. So it's more of to protect them rather than a villainous thing, but that the Kree will leak it to the human world, like maybe through J. Jonah Jameson or something like that, saying that like, oh, these people that you love, they're actually shape-shifting aliens, to kind of flip the script on them kind of things. I had a different theory when I was thinking of, like, obviously they're kind of leading to secret invasions, because the whole theme of Far From Home is like paranoia and everything's not what it seems and everything like that. Like, the whole movie is like that because of Mysterio's illusions and everything. And then at the end, they're like, oh yeah, what's up? Nick Fury, Maria Hill were Skrulls the whole time, which I never thought that. But during the movie, I was like, Maria Hill's like kind of weird in this movie. She's like mean. She's not like a mean person. You know, she's like a stern whatever, but she's not like mean. She was like mean in this movie. But I kind of was like, oh, you know, it's like after Endgame, like there's no Avengers. She has to deal with this kid. Like, it kind of makes sense. Like, I kind of played it off. Like, I didn't think about it. And I was like, Nick Fury is kind of not Nick Fury, because he was like, didn't really know everything that was going on. And he kind of seemed to get like tricked and shit like that, which was like, and like, would really Nick Fury get tricked by Mysterio in real life? No, he would know who the fuck Mysterio was, especially if he worked for Tony Stark. Like, he definitely would have known who he was. So I felt it was weird, but I didn't think like, oh, they're Skrulls. Like, I'm not saying like, oh, I ever thought that, but obviously there's this thing called like Super Skrull, who's a big villain for Fantastic Four. So I always kind of thought maybe, oh, like Super Skrull has this other, because just because like that small group of Skrull are good doesn't mean that all Skrull are good. It's like human beings are shitty human beings. Sure. Why wouldn't there be shitty Skrulls? So it's like he takes like kind of like a evil thing of Skrull and they're doing the same thing. But at the same time, Eric Voss from New Rockstar's theory kind of makes a little more sense, because it's like, who would you make a Skrull that was evil in plain sight now that would make sense, not totally ruin their whole character arc, and at the same time be shocking? Like, it'd be hard to pick anyone. Like, even if you did Rhodey, like, the whole thing in Civil War wouldn't really hit as much, because it's like, oh, the evil guy got fucking handicapped. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. You kind of take away from that. It's like, what do you do? Like, Hawkeye? Like, no, that would kind of ruin the whole Ronin thing. So it's like so hard to be like, who would be a Skrull where it'd be like, oh, fuck, betrayal, and it didn't ruin everything. You know what I mean? It's so hard. So that's like the tough thing. So when he said that, I was like, oh, that makes way more sense. Like, they kind of flip the script, the Kree do this thing to like make it. And that's cool, because obviously we haven't really seen much from the Kree other than Captain Marvel and Ronin being in Guardians. You don't really see much Kree other than Ronin, you know? So it'd be cool to get more backstory on them, because obviously the Kree Skrull War is a huge thing in a bunch of different event comics. So it'd be cool to get more on it than we just saw in Captain Marvel. Because even the Captain Marvel stuff was kind of surface level, because it's like almost like you saw a propaganda piece from like Kree to Captain Marvel. Like we saw it from her point of view, really. So you didn't really get to see like the whole thing, you know? So it's interesting to see which way they'll go with it.
Yeah. They did drop, what was it? They did name drop the Kree in Far From Home whenever Nick Fury and Maria Hill were talking and they were walking. And that was one of the things that like kind of ticked me off too, that I was like, why are they talking about this? And why wasn't this brought back up throughout the whole movie? And then you see that they were Skrull and everything. I was like, this would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Like that the Skrull are worried about the Kree. Yeah. If Sword, so be it. I mean, Sword, this Nick Fury series is definitely going to be a lead up to some type of secret invasion. I'm pretty sure that might be something that they're doing in Captain Marvel 2, you know?
Yeah.
Like, sure. Instead of using an Avengers film or something like that for secret invasion, definitely have someone that's already familiar in the realm and then just add some of those some of the Avengers characters. Because every time there's a second movie of somebody, there's popping up some new heroes, some type of cameo from another one. Like, I would love to see some type of like really cool team up inside of Captain Marvel 2. Nick Fury can be there. I'd love that. Sword goes full-fledged. Hell, yeah. They can even incorporate Nova. Like, they have a world of possibilities now. Like, it's Marvel. They can do
anything. Yeah, there was weird rumors that Silver Surfer was going to be involved in Captain Marvel 2.
Awesome. I want it to happen, but we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, because obviously if we get Silver Surfer, that's just heading to Galactus eventually.
Dude, I want Galactus so bad. Me
too.
I don't want him to be like a one take thing, you know, like, oh, he was just in the not new origin, but the new Fantastic Four movie. Because like, I swear, if they do another origin, I'm going to beat my head.
You don't want him to be just like some floating cloud thing?
Dude, all right. So, you know how like you watch the Spider-Man movies now, like the old ones, and you're like, oh, these are neat. You watch the old Fantastic Four movies and you go, wow, trash. Like the
they're
effects.
Like fun. They're like fun.
They are super fun. But wow.
Oh, Spider-Man 2 is still one of the best superhero movies, for sure.
Hands down. And did you know, what was it? The director for that movie was supposed to be doing the new Doctor Strange. I don't know if he's still doing it.
Yeah.
But
he is.
I would love
Sam
to
Raimi.
See that. I would love to see that.
Me too. I can't wait for that movie. That movie is gonna be nuts. I'm bummed that the whole Scott Derrickson thing happened, and because always creative differences kind of worries me. But it might more be my thing is because everyone's like, when's the next Avengers movie? When's the next big team up movie? And it's like, yo, it's Doctor Strange. Like that's the next big event movie. And that's the thing.
Yeah, like
that's the thing. Like Kevin Feige might have, because there was a cool comicbook.com was doing a lot of these watch along parties. And they would always have like the director or stars of the films in it. And they did a Guardians 1 and 2 with James Gunn. And pretty much he said that Kevin Feige, all that he asked was that it had a Thanos cameo and hey, maybe include like an origin of the Infinity Stones in the movie. And that's all he asked for. That was all his guidelines. So like, obviously he's pretty open with like, oh, hey, these few things need to be in here that aren't like crazy plot driven, but like, just include these things, do your thing. And it's obviously very apparent with a ton of movies. Like, obviously, the Russo brothers had, like, a 10-year fucking plan that they worked in with Kevin Feige and everything. But I'm wondering if, since this movie is so pivotal, there's kind of more of those, like, hey, these things need to be in this movie, and that's why they kind of butted heads kind of thing. That's, like, obviously, I have no fucking idea. But that's my hope, that that's all it was. And he's like, yeah, this really isn't for me, and I know he said like horror movie at Comic-Con and Kevin Feige is like, not really a horror movie kind of thing, but like,
I think it's going to be suspenseful for sure.
Yeah. I think it'll have like, it might have like a scene or two. Cause even in the Spider-Man trilogy, there's like in each movie, there's like a horror scene where it's like, cause obviously he did like Evil Dead and shit like that. So he's rooted in horror. So I think there might be like a scene or two where you're like, there's the horror scene, you know, and shit like that. But it's not going to be like overtly fucking crazy or something like that.
It'll just be like,
oh yeah,
like Shazam. If you see Shazam, they have like a definite horror scene, and like Aquaman, the trench scene is like a horror scene and shit like that. You know, so it's, I feel like they might have something like that.
Yeah, but yeah, I definitely want to see something like that. That's what I was going to mention, that they've thrown things in all over comic book history that would definitely bring a really cool element to Doctor Strange too, because like that literally has a realm of so much possibility. It, that would be the horror scene, you know, especially if like Mephisto becomes like a, you know, archetype, or like kind of like a pop-up inside some of the movies. He's probably gonna lead into that movie anyways, and he's considered the devil. There's gonna be a hellish scene in that movie.
Oh, for fucking sure.
Oh yeah,
that's for sure. So I guess this is a short one. Tatiana Maslany got cast as She-Hulk. Nothing really much other to say other than like, are you down with it or you're not down with it, you know what I mean?
Dude, all right. So what I want to see out of this, and which is why I'm kind of upset that Black Widow got pushed back, but at the same time, it's good that it did, because it's speculated that Black Widow was supposed to start up the Thunderbolts.
Yeah.
You know? And I mean, since it's closer to She-Hulk, if She-Hulk can somehow incorporate some Red Hulk in there, fantastic. I want to see Professor Hulk again in there. Fantastic. I want to see cameos from like different Hulks. Like, that's all I really want out of that series.
They confirmed that Mark Ruffalo is going to be in it. They didn't say how much.
But I didn't see that, but fuck yeah. Yeah, I didn't really see too much out of that. I didn't even know that they casted somebody like for sure. I thought they were going with like, what is it, Stephanie Bertuez or whatever, the girl from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but it conflicted with like her schedule.
Oh.
And then
original reports came out and they said they wanted an Alison Brie type, which made me just think they were just going to get Alison Brie, which would have been,
that would have been cool.
But yeah, she's awesome. I've seen Orphan Black, the show she's in. I've only seen like season one, but she plays like different, like personality. They're like different clones of herself. So she plays like different personalities for each character she's doing, which is like perfect for this. Cause like, She-Hulk was like Deadpool before Deadpool was Deadpool. Like, she broke the fourth wall way before Deadpool did. She's super, super witty and smart, and like, oh, she's a lawyer. So it's like,
yeah,
it's perfect for this. And
yeah, I was saying,
you brought up the Thunderbolts thing, because I think that Falcon Winter Soldier, well, because obviously it was supposed to be Black Widow, then Falcon Winter Soldier. I thought they were both coincidentally going to set up the Thunderbolts, because they already have U.S. Agent, which I obviously think is going to be like a Thunderbolt Ross, like led. Yep. Like, the Thunderbolts are going to be like the government Avengers, like how they are in the comics, and I definitely think he's definitely going to set up for that. I'm very interested to see who they bring into that team. Like, obviously probably Zemo will be involved and shit like that, like he was in the
comics. Already there, why not,
you know? Yeah. Like Ghost was part of it in the comics, but I don't know if they'll kind of retroactively do that, because they kind of already was like, oh, she worked for S.H.I.E.L.D. and that was kind of like the same, it was almost like a nod to Thunderbolts kind of thing, because it's like almost like
a little bit, yeah,
it'd be kind of weird to bring her back into that after they kind of like redeemed her. Not even redeemed her, she wasn't really a bad guy, she just wanted to like not die.
Don't we all? No. But yeah, I definitely I'm really interested too, because like, since they both got pushed back, Falcon and Winter Soldier are doing some reshoots. So I want to know what those are about. Like, honestly, like, they were already doing reshoots, like prior to even getting pushed back in like Costa Rica or somewhere. Like,
I think it's honestly just them finishing. Cause I don't think they started them and then the pandemic hit and they had to shut down. So I think it's really them just finishing the reshoots, which is obviously for anything like this, reshoots are normal. It's nothing like, oh my God, what's wrong with the movie? They need reshoots. It's just normal shit. I think it's just them just wrapping filming, really. So I think we'll get that very, very early next year, hopefully. They'll probably want to bridge, you know, the WandaVision gap into the Black Widow gap. So we might get it more towards spring. That's just a guess, obviously, but
yeah, just like right before Black Widow comes out. That'd be awesome.
Because I do think,
or like right after, who knows?
I do think like the after credit scene of that is definitely gonna coincide, like they were going to connect the two somehow, not like directly, but events of it. I definitely thought the same thing. Like, the events of both of those were going to be the start of the Thunderbolts 100%.
Yeah, dude. I don't think it's pretty obvious, but I'm pretty sure people have like a mutual understanding that they really want to incorporate the Thunderbolts. Yeah. But it'd be cool, like I said, if that's a storyline in She-Hulk, awesome. Like, yeah, I want to see more Hulk things in She-Hulk.
yeah, it would be sick if we get Red Hulk and She-Hulk, if it's not like done beforehand, or even if he's in it and it was done beforehand, that'd be cool too. That's the only thing, is I only know really of the character. I don't know very many story arcs of She-Hulk, so I'm just like on board for the ride.
They could throw it anywhere though. I mean, like, they're probably sick of seeing Mark Ruffalo. I'm not. Like, we haven't gotten enough of him.
I'm definitely not. Like,
yeah, he's like a very good Hulk in my opinion. Like, he's very good at branching Bruce and the Hulk together. Like, as it was shown in all across the board. Like, really, like, I mean, he's been my favorite Hulk, so like I really just want to see it. Like, he hasn't gotten his own movie, which is okay, but if we can throw him in anywhere possible, love it.
Me too. I think it's great. So, last topic, kind of a big one, a little bit.
Oh yeah.
So Jonathan Majors, he was into Five Bloods, the Spike Lee Netflix movie. He's in Lovecraft Country right now, which I've been watching. It's very fucking sick. He is reportedly cast as Kang the Conqueror in Ant-Man 3. This actually has huge implications, because Kang the Conqueror, I've talked about this in the podcast many times, because it's not like I've read a ton of Kang comic arcs or anything. I just know quite a bit about Kang from researching and stuff like that. So Kang is basically a time god, and he is a descendant of Reed Richards, called Nathaniel Richards, who is also Iron Lad, and pretty much he becomes a big foe or foil for the Young Avengers, and Iron Lad is basically a futuristic Iron Man type of person. And he ends up finding out that he becomes Kang the Conqueror. There's also a middle version of the character that I can't remember the name of. It's like in between Kang and Iron Lad. That's like him starting to get evil kind of thing.
It's complicated. Yeah, I forget what it is, but... Yeah. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And he eventually finds out that he becomes Kang and tries to stop himself and never can. It's like a revolving fucking circle of fate and destiny. And so obviously this is like huge, probably setting up the Fantastic Four in Ant-Man 3. Definitely setting up the Young Avengers. I mean, a lot of things are setting up the Young Avengers. Like, obviously we brought up Wiccan and Speed are probably going to come out of WandaVision. Kate Bishop's in the Hawkeye series. There's been talks of...
Stature from Ant-Man.
Stature in Ant-Man, yeah, of course. There's been talks of Hulkling and something. I can't even remember what, but there's been like rumors of that. Well,
probably She-Hulk.
It's possible. It's definitely possible. Like, Ms. Marvel, who's not traditionally part of the Young Avengers, but it kind of makes sense if they just put her with it as like the leader or something like that. It's like we're full train next to the fucking Young Avengers. I definitely think this movie will be a setup for like a Disney Plus series or a movie or something of the Young Avengers for sure. And so do you think that he's going to be more of like a Thanos, or going to be more of a Loki? Not as in like just like Loki, but more of a reoccurring villain throughout these next few phases until like the next, which I think is going to be Secret Wars in 10 years. And I will die on that hill. It's going to fucking happen. The Russo brothers have teased it. Like, it's going to happen. That's what we're going to. Or do you think he's going to be, you know, so is he going to be like the Loki, or is he going to be the Thanos? I think he's going to be the Loki, and then Doom is going to be the Thanos, but that's just me.
You say Doom is going to be the Thanos?
If we're going to Secret Wars, Doom is the Thanos.
Doom has to be, if that's what they're doing in the next 10 years, which would, I'm totally here for. But, I mean, they could even, like, bring on... to answer that, yes, I think King is going to be, like, a Loki thing. Okay. He has potential to be a big bad, but the thing is... what are they going to do in the next 10 years? If they're introducing him right now, I know he's not going to be a villain right now. Like, he might even be introduced as one Iron of Lad. His past selves, you know, Iron Lad. But I also don't think he's going to be the villain of that movie. Like, straight up. I think he's going to just be introduced, whether it be in a cameo or not. Like, dude, come on. Kang is not an Ant-Man. Like, no offense to Ant-Man. He cannot take on Kang. But yeah, dude, he has been brought up on all across the platform for different timelines. Like, I wouldn't even be surprised if like he's potentially a villain inside a Fantastic Four movie. Like, and then he is just brought back again.
I definitely think he's gonna show up in the Loki series too.
Oh, definitely.
That's why I thought he was gonna show up, was the Loki series, because obviously, like, There's that little clip they show in that superhero trailer. He's wearing a TVA uniform, which is Time Variance Authority, and like they're time cops basically. So like I thought like, oh, they're messing with time. Like obviously Endgame was a huge time fuckery thing. And like,
especially since Loki got away.
He fucked up time pretty good. I mean, it's the Avengers' fault, but I mean, he
did. It was him still. He saw the opportunity, took it, which is great. It's going to lead into the Loki series. The thing that like is kind of interesting though is that he isn't like technically supposed to be in Loki, but I mean, he might not be as Kang, you know, like again, like he is all over the board. He could be anybody. And that's why I think more so he's going to be a reoccurring villain, a reoccurring character, anti-hero to an extent, you know, because he's going to have some parts that he's going to be probably, you know, on the route to his evil, you know, or like on his path, his inevitable journey. I would really love to see him in, I never thought of the Young Avengers as a series, honestly, but hey,
it'd be best that way. But I mean, yeah, it's a movie, it'd be cool too. But like, I think like almost like a, you know, like a, because like the X-Men movies aren't really good X-Men movies, they're more like mutant movies, but like an X-Men vibey like Young Avengers thing, like even if they had an older mentor like running them, even if it is like Scott Lang and Hope Van Dyne is like the leaders of, you know, like they're the advisors of Young Avengers or something,
or yeah, you know, them like, and like Hawkeye or something.
Yeah, yeah, like whoever ends up being, like that'd be super fucking cool. But like, you know, if they had like a series of them, like I think it'll be the introduction of them like kind of teaming up, like almost like Avengers was. They have to come together to do a common foe. That's why almost like Kang, even if he's like a small villain or something, would make sense. I know MODOK was a weird rumor for a while, which is funny because
I want him in Ant-Man 3. I don't like, care. I will want him in Ant-Man 3.
Obviously, they're testing shit in the video game that's going to come up. Like, obviously, Kamala Khan is the main character of the whole game. MODOK is the main villain. So it's like, they're like, you know, testing shit. Like, they're smart about this stuff. Yeah. Marvel's not play fucking games, you know? So, but yeah, I don't think he's the main villain either. But like, even if he shows up or whatever, you know, it'd be cool to see them form the Young Avengers and then see like a series of them like, oh, hey, because I think these next phases are like the phases of teams, like Thunderbolts, like Sword, Illuminati might form, you know, like
beautiful.
It'd be kind of weird because Tony Stark isn't around anymore, and obviously Chadwick Boseman unfortunately isn't here. But like whoever takes up the mantle could replace him, I guess. But like they might do like a West Coast Avengers and like a Young Avengers, and then have a main Avengers team and shit like that to kind of, and then like Sword and. Maybe they'll actually form the Asgardians of the Galaxy, like more than just a joke one-liner and shit like that to help with space and stuff like that. Like, who knows? You know, they could do so much shit. Like,
yeah, they have endless possibilities, really. Yeah, dude. Again, I'm like kind of stuck on that Young Avengers like series thing because I've never really thought about it, but it sounds like such a great idea. The only thing that I'm like worried about is like the Runaway series. Like the like a lot of people don't like necessarily care about those like spin-off series, but I think series are going to be a lot more pivotable now. Yeah. Oh, so much different. So I think like that's kind of like their resurrection of it, you know. That would make sense. Like Kane could definitely be a turning point in the series for them to, you know, have a coming of age moment. Yep. Before they actually take him on maybe in the later movie with another team up. Like, wow. Exactly. Like you didn't blow my mind, but like I'm thinking about it now. I'm like, wow. Like,
yeah, it could be really
like
cool.
I never thought about that. It makes sense. It makes so much sense.
Yeah, it's like what's better than making a 6 to 8 hour pretty much Marvel movie, you know, planned out through episodes, you know? It's like the best way to build new characters, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's not wasting a movie to develop teams too. Like not I'm not saying that they did that with Avengers. That was their grand scheme of things to do that. But like they've done that before, so this would be a great new element, you know.
Yeah.
Especially now since they're going into the, you know, the TV series, which super smart. Like you said, 8 hour movie basically, for people to be tied over in between those like big badass movies. Now, like they really have to go full fledged in their movies.
Yep.
Like they always had that like that expectation now since like Endgame finished, you know. they had the expectation now, but like this is really where they have to go full swing. So like doing a Young Avengers, like, you know, building of a team, etc., like, you know, being sprinkled all throughout the universe, like, that is smart. That is
Thank you. Well, awesome, man. Thank you so much for doing this. This is really fun.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Dude, anytime. We'll do this again. We'll do it again for sure.
Yeah, we have to. There's just a lot of theories that we're like, we watched the same theory breakdowns, I think. So like, yeah. Us, we're just going to geek out about it. So
yeah, exactly, which is fine with me. I mean, I love new rock stars. They're great at what they do.
Yeah, for sure.
And they also make me like watch trailers like a psycho now, because I'm like, what's that?
What's that?
You know?
What can you speculate before they can?
Yeah, pretty much. And they say something, I'm like, wow, that was way smarter than what I thought of.
Yo, dude, yeah, that was how I was when I was watching the WandaVision, because I was like, oh, dude, this is like so obviously this storyline. And they went, House of M, I went, yes, that's what I thought.
Yeah. Oh, one more thing. I didn't even say this about the WandaVision stuff. If Wanda says something like mutants or let there be mutants or something, I think I'll jump out of a window of excitement.
Yes, because that's going to unload so much into the
He can't say now. No, she can't say rumors. There is no mutants technically, or there might be mutants that we just don't know about, whatever. But if she somehow like activates like an X gene or something or whatever the fuck happens, like, whew. I mean, you did say something like, oh, it could obviously lead to X-Men being involved in some way, shape, or form. But,
definitely. Well, I mean, they're having, you know, like in the trailer, they had them holding their twin babies, which, you know, we already discussed that branches into the Young Avengers, but not only that, it branches into X-Men. Like, yeah. They are mutants, you know? So, I'm really excited. If she says that, then all hell's breaking loose and everyone knows X-Men's coming. Like,
yeah, 100%.
Yeah, one second. Okay. Okay, cool.
Okay, awesome.
Sorry.
No, it's all good, man. So as we're wrapping this up, is there anything you want to plug band-wise or personal?
If anyone doesn't know who I am, I do vocals in a band called Weeping Wound. We are god-awful. No,
that's not true.
If you like metal, if you like heavy music, I suggest checking us out. I suggest if you don't already follow Metalcore Nerds everywhere, join the group. This is where I see a lot of announcements for the most part too, if I'm not already on top of it. So,
yeah. Also, you guys have a For the Nomads thing up right now for the silent auction, right?
We do. Yeah. Thanks for reminding me. We do have signed memorabilia. We have stuff that either we don't sell anymore or that we've never sold up on For the Nomads right now to assist touring crew members that are out of a job right now during the pandemic. Frank Finelli is a god for doing this. And if you haven't already checked it out, I suggest going to forthenomads.org.
Hell yeah, man. Awesome, man. I'll talk to you soon about something nerd related, I'm sure.
Sure.
Awesome, man. Thank you again.
Thank you.
That's it for this one, guys. Thanks for checking this one out. If you want to support the podcast, again, like I've said the last few episodes, best way, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, hit that 5-star, leave a review. That helps boost us in the podcast charts. We've been doing pretty well in the music interview category. It's been charting the top 200 in the United States, in France, Canada, Philippines, randomly for a few days in the last couple weeks, which is super fucking cool. So keep subscribing. Keep hitting that 5 stars. Spread words to your friends. Follow us on social media. Follow us on Spotify if you don't use Apple Podcasts. We're now on Amazon Music. We're on Google Podcasts if you have an Android. Until next time, this is Metalcore Nerds.